Welcome to the Divorce Podcast, where we explore all aspects of ending relationships, separation, and parenting apart. If your marriage or partnership has ended, or you have friends and family who are separating, this podcast is for you. I'm Kate Daly, a relationship counsellor, divorce specialist, and co-founder of Amicable, the online legal service for separating couples. In each episode, we look at relationships and separation from different angles, including the emotional, legal, and social. I'm joined by experts and special guests who share their own unique stories, experience, and tips with the goal of helping people end relationships in a kinder and better way. In this episode, I was joined by Liz Hancock, the EFT coach, to talk about how emotional freedom technique, that's EFT, can be used as a therapeutic approach to healing from a divorce or separation. We begin with Liz discussing her separation and how this led her to her current work. Following 10 years of experience as an EFT specialist, Liz chose to niche in the divorce and money space following her own divorce, which started off amicably, but then turned sour with financial threats affecting not just her, but her children too. We look at what EFT is, how it can help you navigate the emotional and legal journey of a separation, and Liz explains situation where it's likely to help, such as the negotiation process and at what stage. We also explore the most cost-effective options for those on a budget, as well as things to do at home for free. This is a great episode for anyone looking for support with the emotional journey during their divorce or separation process. If you loved this episode, then please subscribe and rate us on your preferred listening platform. Welcome, Liz.
Hi, Kate. Lovely to be here.
Now, Liz is an EFT coach and is passionate about helping others through the emotional turmoil and trauma that can be a huge factor in divorce. With over 10 years of experience, Liz chose to niche in the divorce and money space following her own divorce, which started off pretty amicably, but then went on to be very toxic, with threats over finances which affected not just her, but her children too. Now, Liz, I can empathise with that because going through a separation can wreak havoc on your emotions, and how we handle this is largely based on our separation and other factors such as our kind of adaptability and that kind of thing. So in this episode, we're going to look at one of the therapeutic ways you can manage that emotional journey when you're going through a divorce or separation. And I mentioned in the intro that you've been through your own divorce as well. So can you start just by telling us a little bit about that and how it led to your current career?
Yeah, of course. So we separated 4.5 years ago, and we didn't do anything. I didn't even Google how to get divorced for a year, which I'd kind of forgotten about until I was preparing for this interview, which I found quite fascinating now in hindsight. But I think we were so focused on making sure each other were okay to an extent. Obviously, there were issues, else we wouldn't have got divorced. But we did still care about each other. But mostly making sure our kids were okay. That was the, you know, the be all and end all, really, for both of us. A year later, we started the divorce process. We did it ourselves. We did it online. It was really easy. We negotiated finances between us. But in hindsight now, perhaps not, it wasn't a sensible thing to do. I would never, ever recommend it, but it kind of worked out for me in the end. But we didn't get a financial consent order sorted. So it was just an agreement between us on Zoom meetings that were recorded. So my ex thought for a while that had lots of legal standing. I think it had a little, but not that much. And it was fine because I was like, he's never going to screw me over on the finances. You know, I really trust him. We still care about each other. And it was all good. Until a year after we'd been divorced, I'd broken up with someone I met after I'd separated from him. And I was in a very, very bad place from that. And I phoned him to update him, and he was so supportive, and he was away with the children. And then I don't know what happened after that. Still to this day, don't know. I have ideas, but I don't know completely. He just turned on me, became really nasty and really just seemed to really hate me. Like, what's changed? What's happened? And I don't know if it was suppressed anger or he'd just met someone who he finally liked. You know, I don't know why, but it ended up being, well, if you don't do this, then I won't pay you. And even the language, like, I won't pay you, like I'm employed by him, you know, stuff like that. And I eventually realized, and I thought, no, I'm not having this anymore. And I pushed back, which actually made everything blow up even worse. But I realized, you know what, actually, he could take my house because I've moved out of the family home. I've got my house, but technically that's still in a marital pot. I mean, you're obviously, you're the expert on this, not me. The kids kept telling me he had no money. I thought he could come after my house, which is everything to me now. So I said, we need to get the finances sorted. And it ended up being almost a year, I think, if not longer. And it wasn't very pleasant. We got legal advice. We were still negotiating between us. We did go to mediation. That fell flat. It was ridiculous, really. And it was quite a challenging time, to say the least. But I wouldn't say do it like I did.
Yeah, no, I hear that message loud and clear. It sounds like there's two emotional journeys, isn't there? There's the emotional journey you're on, and there's the emotional journey your partner's on. And sometimes you can see your partner's emotional journey, and sometimes, you know, like you were describing, you just don't know, you know, what their journey is and what they're going on. It's so important, as you say, to make sure that even if you've done all your negotiations between you, you have it written up into a consent order, because that's the only thing that stops, you know, what happened to you with people going back on things or making threats. Because once you have that legally binding order, you can then enforce it through the court if necessary. But it's a record of what you've agreed. And I think it's so fascinating what you say, because lots of people start off amicably, and then when new partners become involved, it can create tension, not because anyone's done anything wrong, but just because we're human, and shifting and changing relationships and bringing other people in creates a different dynamic. So it's a real interesting kind of cautionary tale, yours, isn't it?
I mean,
it genuinely is.
I think it is.
We're going to focus, aren't we, on how you, so you've had a divorce that started off well, went through a very rough patch. To actually get the finances sorted out, you had to, it sounds like you had to break a few eggs. And again, I think it's interesting what you say about, you know, sometimes people try and stay amicable, but you can't be amicable at all costs. You have to have some of these things sorted out and broached, and you know you have to have some security around the arrangement you've made. So what led you from sort of mopping your brow after a difficult divorce to then becoming an EFT specialist?
I already had my business. I've been doing EFT for over 10 years now. I was focused on money, helping entrepreneurs with their money mindset and reasons why they self-sabotage, don't put themselves out there, that kind of stuff. But in my own journey, because that was following me trying to build my business, actually doing that work on money was so much deeper than just money. It was about self-worth and self-value and childhood trauma and trying to make my parents proud and then never actually saying, Liz, I am proud of you. And these patterns that then I looked and I was like, actually, this is quite similar to what my marriage was. I was always trying to get his praise and his approval. And it was really hard to do that. And doing the work on my money story healed me with my, I wouldn't say childhood trauma, but things that were kind of missing from my childhood. No fault of my parents. Just, you know, sometimes our needs aren't met. And also another previous relationship I'd had in my late teens that was very abusive physically and emotionally. And most of all, it made me a better mum and happier with myself. So I had already done so much healing. And this is why I'm grateful for my divorce, because I thought I'd done a lot of healing. But then a divorce comes, you're like, oh my goodness, I have to do a lot more than what I've done. Not just on the current situation, but the past as well. Little things that the past I haven't healed, even before I met my ex-husband, and actually stuff throughout our relationship. Because of the relationship that broke up after I left my my ex-husband, that ended very badly, and I ended up doing the Women's Aid Freedom course. I was referred to it by the police. We'll talk about that another day, maybe. But this, we're doing that course, I was like, oh my goodness, I've got like my ex-boyfriend on one hand, and then my ex-husband. And I never would have said my marriage was abusive. I still don't like saying that. It's definitely been abusive since we broke up, but it was very, very neglectful. And that freedom course just gave me so much realization, my goodness, there's stuff that we're suffering from that we're not even aware of. And I think I'm quite a conscious person that's into this kind of stuff. And it's funny how the universe works. I had some women that were going through divorce that just popped up as clients, entrepreneurial women wanting to work on their money story. And divorce, healing from their divorce was a massive part of that. So I kind of fell into it. And then obviously going through my own issues, it's also what I really wanted to talk about and read about and post about on social media. So it was just a natural add-on. And actually, so I have the two niches now, the money and the divorce stuff, but they're actually really similar because it's all trauma related. It's all trauma and self-worth and feelings of betrayal and all those things. It's just very often massively magnified when it's when divorce is involved. So that's how I got into it. And yeah, I just love it.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about what EFT is then, so people can have a sense of what it is you do, because it's totally fascinating. Like you say, bringing divorce and money together, when you work in this field, it just feels so obvious, but it's like it is an epiphany moment, divorce, when you often change your relationship with money. So I can see why those two things sit side by side, and there must be immense crossover in the different areas you work with. But just start by explaining EFT for us.
Yes, sure. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. It's also known as tapping. And you literally tap on your acupressure points. Obviously, the people listening can't see me, but I'm just tapping around my eyes, under my eyes, under my nose, on my chin, my chest, and the top of my head. There are other points that we can use, but I keep it really simple. By doing that, we are literally calming the nervous system's reaction. We're getting our bodies out of that fight or flight or freeze mode that we or fawn a lot of the time, especially with divorce, that we feel when we're in conflicting situations. And there are levels of trauma, obviously. You know, when we think of PTSD, we think of someone out in Iraq and coming back and fight, you know, having been at war, and they've got obvious trauma that they've been through. And I think we often play down, oh, well, so many people get divorced nowadays, you know, so many other people have had it worse than me. Your body is still going to react. You can't get away from that. And if you completely shut that off, then it will manifest in other ways, physical ways of getting ill or getting fibromyalgia or, you know, extreme fatigue, those kinds of things. So it's really important to do this body work that actually releases the trauma from our bodies as well as our brains. And so tapping releases the cortisol. It calms down the amygdala, engages the prefrontal cortex, which is the problem-solving side of the brain, which then enables you to kind of like, I loved what Christine McGee said on your last podcast, it enables you to respond, not react. And I think it's putting that sort of space between your gut feel and your raw emotion, and especially when we're thinking of divorce, and going, okay, what is this really about? Is it that he won't pick the kids up tonight when I thought he was going to? Or is it because he's always let me down and there was that time when and that other time when? And actually, what's the bigger picture here? And healing those traumas, healing that letdown and that betrayal, and working massively on guilt and shame as well. I was not blameless in my marriage. I know I did things wrong. And there's some things that I wish I could change. And there's other things that I think, well, actually, on the scale of things, you know, it's not surprising that I went out and, you know, had too much alcohol or whatever. So, you know, but you can easily internalize that and think, oh, yeah, I was really bad. I didn't, you know, I was a neglectful wife or whatever. So we've got to work with those emotions, even if, you know, sometimes they're the real emotions that you think inside, but you would never say. I'm really open and honest, by the way. And sometimes they're the stuff that you say just because sort of that's the right thing to do, even if you actually don't believe it.
Well, give us an example of that then. So what do you mean people sometimes say things?
So I guess if someone's sort of saying, well, I cheated, so therefore I messed up the marriage, I broke the marriage. And, you know, and we're very, very judgmental about cheating. And sometimes I think that's warranted and sometimes it isn't. And that massively depends on our own personal experience as well and the experience we've seen others go through. It's all conditioning, isn't it? But actually, okay, you cheated, but if you'd had 10 years of neglect, and I'm not excusing the cheating, but you're going to blame the whole divorce on that one thing and probably everyone else around you
as well. That one act, yes.
Yeah. Whereas there's all this stuff that gets completely forgotten, and that's not justice for that person that's been through that. And also the person that has been cheated on, obviously they're going to need help to get over that because that is a betrayal. But then there's no ownership, not always, but there can be a lack of ownership from them in terms of what else went wrong. And, you know, the whole conscious uncoupling philosophy, I think, is great because it asks you to look at what is it that you did wrong, even if it was only 5%, what was your part in it? However, the slight issue I have with that whole conscious uncoupling thing, it doesn't talk about apart from when there's been loads of abuse.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, we have to be careful. And I think we as women, a lot of the time, people do not realise that they've actually been in a really abusive relationship. And I think they need to go through that process of realising it, not forcing them to realise it at all, but facing what actually happened and what was their truth and working through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess if I was to summarise what you've just said there, then it sounds like we have to accept that there are going to be physical manifestations when we've been through an emotionally difficult time, whether we want to call that a traumatic time or a difficult time, however we want to phrase it. When we've been through something like a divorce and separation, it's going to have a physical impact. And the EFT is a way of tapping into that so that it doesn't build up and manifest itself in a more negative way through illness or collapse or breakdown or whatever it is. And it sounds like there are lots of hidden benefits to EFT that allows you to even tap into, pardon the pun, things that you don't necessarily think of consciously as being traumatic, but that are built up in your backstory, if you will.
Yeah.
And I guess it's something that anybody can do, is it? Or do you have to be a certain type of person? It's not restricted to men or women. It's anybody that can do this, can't they? And can you
Absolutely.
Do it for yourself?
Yeah, you can do it for yourself. It's not restricted to any type of person. I mean, I mainly work with women just because that's who comes to me. But I've got 3 male clients at the moment, actually, and I love working with them. It's really interesting. You know, if you've had sort of a lot of difficult situations or trauma, then you might be more likely to look for something like this. But that's not to say that it wouldn't help you. If, you know, I think all divorce is difficult because ultimately you're breaking up from someone you once were in love with and hopefully had a nice marriage to. You don't go into marriage thinking that it's going to end, hopefully. But so, yes, it can work for anyone. I think you have to have, and it's not worked on anyone at all who I've worked with EFT tapping with, apart from my mother-in-law. We'll just leave that one there. But what I want my clients to come with is an appetite to work through their stuff. Like if someone just was sort of cajoled and pushed to do it, really, if their heart's not in it, I'm totally open for them to have a massive realization, go, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing. I never knew that actually it really does help to talk about this stuff and I would like to do some work. But if they're really anti and like very anti sort of, EFT actually isn't woo-woo, but when I first started doing it, people thought I joined a cult. It was 10 years ago. It was very non-mainstream, you know, before anyone meditated or practiced mindfulness or anything. Yeah, so in answer to your question, it can work on anyone. I think as long as they have the appetite and they want to heal, then yeah, I would suggest to anyone, go for it. The other thing I would say, it does work on yourself if you do it yourself, but watching a video on YouTube is very, very different to, or doing it on yourself is very, very different to having a coach, someone like me, who will guide you and who is a real expert in sort of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So that's why I call myself an EFT coach. I'm not just having clients come to me say, oh, I feel this, or I'm worried about that, or I feel anxious when. It's like, okay, what are your goals? What is it that you have been through? Where do you want to get to? And I create a plan to get us there. And then the sessions are very, you know, I have a plan for each session. Obviously, that's very fluid, depending on what comes up. We have goals that we work to. I keep them accountable. I do give them little bits of homework, nothing, you know, overwhelming, but so that they are continuing their healing between our sessions and ideally equipping them with the skills and the knowledge to continue doing it by themselves and ideally spreading the word and like maybe introducing it to their kids and that kind of stuff.
So just thinking about somebody going through a separation or divorce, I guess, what point do people usually come to you? Is it before, during, or after? And is it better to come early? You know, most things you hear people say, well, the earlier you come, the better it's going to be. But is it right to come at the beginning of the divorce? If I've just heard from my ex, or I've just announced to my ex that I am divorcing or being divorced, do I come straight away, or do I come in the middle, or do I come at the end? Is there a better sort of strategy, or is it very, individually based?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it is individually based, but then I'm also mindful that a lot of people put this kind of stuff off. So I think within a financial settlement, or at least when you're talking at the start, I think you do need to allow for the cost of healing, the cost of coaching or therapy or whatever it might be for you, for everyone involved, for you, your ex, and the children as well. And there might be sort of phases. You might need some really initial help, especially if you've been, you're the one that's been dumped and you had no, it was totally left field and you're completely devastated. Then you're going to need some really good emotional support. Having said that, that's usually when all your friends are around you, giving you that support. Sometimes it's later on, when everyone kind of forgets that you're still going through all this stuff. Sometimes that's when you need more sort of professional help. And sometimes that's when, sadly, the wheels do come off. You know, it depends on each individual. But I would say if you feel at all led to explore, or you feel, you know, like you need some help, then definitely speak to someone. It might be that you do some initially and then you have a break and then you come back. Or you don't have to have sessions every week. You could have them every 2 weeks or once a month. You know, I work very, very flexibly with my clients. So the hard ones are when it's pre-divorce. And you're like, I can see the writing on the wall here, but, you know, they're the tricky ones that don't necessarily come to me about divorce or breaking up with anyone. I'm not a relationship counsellor, but, you know, that's why I struggle. That's why I would never be a relationship counsellor. But if the decision's been made, then absolutely I can definitely support them then.
I guess I'm asking because in things like bereavement and PTSD, there is a sort of a body of evidence that says having that kind of intervention too early can be more devastating than not having anything. So I'm just wondering if it's the same kind of thing where if you come too soon, it sort of has the reverse effect and re-traumatizes or doesn't really work. So I guess that's what I was kind of just trying to unpick a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen. However, what it would do, like we can work on different levels with EFT. So the sort of superficial level, I'm upset, I'm really in an absolute state about the fact that my marriage is falling apart. That's very, you know, that's very present, the present issues. So we could work to help someone get through that. But actually the deeper work of looking back and looking where you want to be in the future is probably not a great time to do that work initially. So I would have that conversation with the person and find out, you know, that kind of stuff. But I don't think it would be harmful unless you had a very inexperienced or slightly odd EFT practitioner or therapist who wanted to take you down the deep stuff when actually you're just trying to deal with the day to day. Like,
yeah,
when you first
just trying to cope, aren't you? Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
It's survival, yeah. Isn't it?
So, yeah. So EFT can be used as a kind of a coping mechanism at the sort of heightened points of trauma. It's a way of holding somebody, you know, just like if you go to a counsellor, they literally hold the space for you to emote and to be in a non-judgmental way. And EFT sounds like it can perform the same kind of function. And then if you want to do more long-term work, as we'd call it in the therapeutic space, then EFT can also be a good solution when the dust has settled for you to look at some deeper feelings around either relationships or money or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think also it's worth mentioning, because like dealing with the sort of the SOS, the peripheral stuff, that's actually calming the nervous system. And to have that person, the client, get the skills so that if they're having a really difficult mediation session, or, you know, they know that they're going to have to read through the proposed finances and that's going to trigger them, they can tap on themselves whilst they're doing that, before they're doing it, and they can understand why they're getting so triggered. Because I think so often we have these feelings that are so overwhelming and it's really frightening, because quite often we haven't felt like that before. But if we understand what's happening in our body and have that explained and be shown a way to calm the nervous system around those events, then I think that could be really, really powerful. Yeah.
That's really interesting then, because, you know, that was going to be kind of the next thing to explore. What does it actually mean? How can people use EFT when they're going through a divorce? So it sounds like, as you say, if they're working with a mediator or with a divorce specialist from Amicable or whatever, then prior to your meetings with the mediator or the divorce specialist, you can get into the habit of tapping so that you're in a calm state, you're able to respond, not react. And you can do that as well when you've got decisions to make around the finances or whatever. Is that kind of how it works?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, that's so powerful. When you're using it, going into those meetings and coming out of them as well, because I think to do a download afterwards is really important and go, okay, what happened there? When did I react? What was that about? You know, so you can see the wood for the trees. Because I think so often that's so difficult, isn't it? So
yeah, and I think it creates a buffer space as well, yes. Doesn't it? So you create that moment of calm before you go into one of those meetings, and then you create that moment of calm when you come out, so that then when you, because normally people have to come out of a meeting and then they've got to go and pick the kids up or go back to work or whatever it is. You don't get the luxury of just being able to lie down and process, do you? We don't live those kind of lives. So I think if you can use it, by the sounds of it, to just create that buffer between you and then re-entering the world, it sounds like that's a really powerful tool and technique.
Yeah, so powerful.
And how long does it take? Is that a really obtuse question?
No, that's a very good question and a very hard one to answer. Like, I don't think we're ever fully healed, because we're in this thing called life and stuff happens to us all the time. And, you know, I thought I was healed from my divorce, and then I get all this other stuff that comes up 2 years later. And then, you know, I'm going to have future challenges and things. When my mum died, that was a really hard time, because it felt like I was being abandoned. I didn't feel I was being abandoned by my mother at all. She'd been really ill. It was a relief in many ways. But at the same time, my ex amped up a lot of his nastiness, and his family joined in at the same time. So that was devastating. So, yeah, just to be able to know what was going on and forgive myself for feeling that, and be able to ramp up my work with the therapist, because I'm an EFT practitioner, I have to have supervision and I have my own therapy as well, my own EFT tapping, knowing that actually it doesn't mean that I haven't healed or there's something wrong with me. I haven't just taken 2 steps forward and 4 steps back. It's just a process. So just allowing that to be the case was really important and hard to do. So how long does it take? That was your original question. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. But it does vary for people. It varies the intensity. It varies in terms of what they want to get out of it, their budget. You know, if I could work with someone, this relates to your last question, from the moment that they're divorced for however long it takes, that's brilliant. But people don't have, you know, they don't want to be doing that
endless
all the
budgets,
time.
No.
Exactly. So it's not sort of one and done. I have programs that are 6 weeks or 10 weeks or more than that. But then I also have people on like a maintenance plan where they might have a session once a month, every 6 weeks. I've got one lady, I see her once a quarter, an hour and a half once a quarter. That's all she needs, but it's a massive reset for her. And she's really good because she's very self-disciplined in looking at her quarterly goals and reflecting. So she comes really well prepared, and we whiz through that hour and a half, and it's amazing. And I think if we could all do that for ourselves, I think we'd be quite a different nation.
It sounds like a really flexible way then, because, you know, like sometimes some types of therapy, they're very insistent that you go every week or whatever, and it can feel a little bit prescriptive, can't it? But this sounds like it's a very flexible way of getting some really rapid relief, either on a, like you say, in a kind of maintenance way, or maybe you do a piece of sort of work for a period of weeks and then you go on to do some kind of maintenance work or whatever. And I guess when milestones come up, whether that be relationship milestones or in your case, because you specialize in money milestones, so whenever you've got debt or whenever you, if you inherit or money becomes an issue for you at certain points in your life, doesn't it? When you're trying to decide about whether it's moving house or children's education or whatever it is, there are points in your life when money becomes a decision gateway almost, doesn't
yes,
it? And then
yes.
We sort of make our big decisions around these kind of point. So it sounds like EFT can really fit very nicely into that way of looking at money and life and how you move through. Are there different things you do when you're doing the money coaching?
The processes I use are very similar. So I don't just use EFT. I use family constellations. We visualize that the person is in the room and we have a conversation with all sounds a bit wacky, but I promise you it's amazing. I even do some past life stuff with some clients, which is really fascinating. So with the money stuff, it is actually very similar. Yeah. It's kind of like the presenting things are different, and the stuff where everyone fills in a form, an intake form with lots of questions. Obviously, the stuff that they put in there, you'd think would be very different, but a lot of the time it's quite similar. And let's not forget, if money is a massive part of divorce, but money trauma, money wounds are very often related to relationships. So there's so much crossover.
Well, give me an example of a money wound then, because I'm quite interested to understand what that would look like. So what's a typical money wound?
Okay, so I had a client who had, a lovely client at the moment, actually, and I love her because she's got so into it. She's really sort of investigative in her past now. So she was struggling with a client she had that was really triggering her, asking her for more, kept on, you know, scope creep of a project. Basically, she's a consultant, and she was taking it really personally. She felt like she was edging on not being professional about it. I think she's like burst into tears after one call and so on, and was so grateful she wasn't in front of them. So we looked back, and her money wound was, there were several. One was being fired from a job in the past that had happened, which you would say, well, how is that a money wound? Well, it's a massive money wound because she lost her income. And she had to go back home, and she had, Mum, I've got no money to pay my rent. And, you know, so massive impact on money. And money is about self-worth and value. So not only had that played a part in her being fired because she hadn't performed as she should have done, but that was very related to when she was working really hard as a youngster at school and just feeling like she had to do better. She always had to do better to get approval, whether that be from the teachers or her father. And then we looked at, okay, well, like what happened to give you that reliance on wanting to be approved of? I mean, we all have it in us. We all want our parents to approve of us and approve and say they're proud of our accomplishments. But some people have that more than others. And actually, it's very often very supportive, sort of good parents who unwittingly create this need in their kids because they're so supportive and so encouraging. Their kids want to please so much. And you think, well, that's a great thing, surely, because it's made them driven and really ambitious. Yes, it is. But actually, if they've still got those feelings of not being good enough, that's what we need to go and work with. So, yeah. And there might be other things like your parents getting divorced. And I have one client, her parents got divorced. She had to move. She had to leave her school. She started a new school. She was bullied there. So just this whole massive knock-on effect. She didn't have many friends in the new school from the divorce, which meant money issues, which meant all of that loss.
Yeah. Well, that's where it becomes really interlinked, doesn't it? Generationally interlinked, because it always fascinates me. Now we have, you know, people who come to us for divorce, and their motivator for using Amicable is they're a child of divorce and they do not want to do it how their parents did it in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And that's a real driver for those people wanting to do it in a different way. And of course, when you've got two divorces effectively playing out in the emotional space, it becomes really complicated. So I can really see how something like EFT would be a real unblocker in those situations. I'm just conscious of time. Where can people find out more about this? If they want to go away and investigate, they maybe want to book some sessions. Where will they find you, Liz?
So they can go to my website, it's the best place, which is www.theeftcoach.com. I'm on the usual channels, but there's links on my website to all of those rather than me list them all off.
And just roughly how much does it cost, Liz? Just ballpark, rough figures.
Well, it varies in terms of what people want. So I do group programs and one-to-one as well. Obviously, the one-to-one is a lot more, but the group, I think your guys, anyone that's working with you, get a decent discount. So it starts from like 247 or 297, forgive me, I can't remember exactly, all the way up to like £1,400. So, you know, there's a wide variety. I try my hardest to make it accessible.
Well, that's brilliant. It's great that you've hooked up with us as well so that we could signpost people going through a divorce to your services too. So anyone who's listening who's an amicable customer, just go to your dashboard and you'll find Liz there on the dashboard with her discount code as well.
So thank you so much for that, Liz.
That's just about all we've got time for, Liz. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating talking to you. Thanks for the website. We'll put all of the details in the show notes as well, so people can grab it there too. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kate_Daly, and hear more about the next podcast episodes by subscribing for updates and visiting thedivorcepodcast.com or find us on your favourite listening platforms. Thanks, Liz, for joining me, and thank you, everybody, for listening.